Okay, everyone, welcome. We're going to make a start. Well done for getting here. I think one or two have got stuck because of the DLR disruptions today. We've had apologies from Adam and Helen, who were up in Birmingham. Jim Wilson is up in Sheffield seeing his mum. And Melissa is at home, not having as many internal organs as she had last week. Melissa had her appendix out on Thursday or Friday. What was it?
Thursday
night. So our thoughts are with her, poor thing. Not pleasant, and she's got the rest of she's got next week off work. So let's remember to pray for her at the end. This is an opportunity to say, first of all, a very big thank you to all of you for all the hard work you do on the various serving teams. I think we should have representatives of all the teams here, whether it's music or welcoming and stewarding, praying, reading, PA, baking. What have I missed out? Anyone feel they've been missed out? I think that's pretty much it. But we never, I mean, apart from this one occasion in the year, we don't get everyone together and just say, look, a huge thank you for all you do. Behind the scenes is very much appreciated, and the whole thing wouldn't work without you. So thank you for your service in that way. What we're going to do is I'm going to share a few thoughts from a passage, and then there's a chance just to interact a little bit, share your own thoughts and reflections on it, and then we'll pray. Last year we did this for the first time, and we were looking at Acts chapter 6, and I was tempted to rerun the talk we did last year just because it's such foundational teaching about service, but I'm aware quite a few of you will have heard that, so I thought I won't do that. Although even though those who heard it may not remember what was said, I thought I'd just begin though by reminding you, or telling you for the first time, what the 4 points were. And the talk is on the website, so if you haven't heard it, if you've joined a serving team since last year, please do listen to that talk. No need to look this up. I just want you to flag up what the 4 points were. First one was that practical service is ministry. So we looked at the fact that the word ministry is used there for serving tables, but also for teaching the Bible. It's the same word. So it's wrong to see the staff team as the ministry team. We are not the ministry team. We are all the ministry team, whatever our tasks are. Second point was that practical service liberates others to focus on Bible teaching and prayer. So in churches where the staff team are doing everything, all the practical stuff as well, the church family actually suffers because they're not getting taught properly, because the pastoral team are spending all their time doing the practical jobs. So firstly, practical service is ministry. Secondly, practical service liberates others to focus on Bible teaching and prayer. Thirdly, practical service requires mature Christians. So in that passage, it talks of the requirements of being full of faith and the Holy Spirit if you're going to serve tables. So it's important we grow in these qualities. And then the final point was that practical service promotes church growth. So we need to think when we're doing our various tasks, this is for the growth of God's people. So those were the 4 points from last year. If you haven't heard the talk, please do. It's on under church events on the website. But today, just for a few minutes, I want us to think through John chapter 13 and the incident of the foot washing, and just to think how that relates to our service on the various teams here on the barge. So John 13, 1 to 17. So it will be familiar to those who studied John last year, but even so, this is a chance just to think through specifically, okay, how does this actually apply to our service on the teams? Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, What I'm doing you do not understand now, but afterwards you will understand. Peter said to him, You shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I don't wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, The one who is bathed does not need to wash, except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, Not all of you are clean. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, Do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Let's pray together. Lord God, we ask your blessing on this time together now. And as we reflect on this staggering incident from the life and ministry of Jesus, help us to see how this applies to our service here on the barge. For his sake, amen. Two simple points. The first one is Jesus' service, and the second one is our service. So firstly, Jesus' service. When you look at his identity here in this passage, verse 3 says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he'd come from God and was going back to God. It's really quite staggering, isn't it? That the Father had given all things into his hands, that is, he had this unique role, unique position in the universe, this unique relationship with the Father. It says there in verse 3 that he'd come from God. You remember that the opening to John's Gospel, how the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word became flesh. So Jesus had come from God. And it says here in verse 3 he was going back to God. So that's who this person is, who we then see washing the disciples' feet in verses 4 and 5. Laying aside his outer garments, taking a towel, tying it round his waist, pouring the water into a basin, and beginning to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel. Such practical and such humble service, something which only the lowliest slave would stoop to do. There was this person with this identity, the one whom the Father had put all things into his hands, the one who'd come from God, the one who was going back to God, kneeling down and performing this humble act of service, the job of a slave. Washing the disciples' feet. If you just put yourself in his position, imagine what that would have involved. I put up on the screen there a photo of some dirty feet. Not sure what happened to the ET of the feet, but I think you can probably guess what that word is. But just imagine doing that sort of job. Even with clean feet, it's pretty demeaning. But get some dirty feet. And you can imagine in those days when they were just going around without socks on, just in their open sandals. Think of the sort of hygiene issues, the smell, the nasty niffs. No odour eaters to... It's not a pleasant thought, is it? You know the verse in the song which goes, Lord of infinity, dwells in humanity, stooping so tenderly and washing our feet. Is that the Servant King? Yeah, Caroline. Servant King. Lord of infinity, dwells in humanity, stooping so tenderly and washing our feet. Why did he do it? What was his motivation? Well, verse 1 says that it's love. When Jesus knew his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. That was why he did it. It was a practical demonstration of love for them, serving them in this way. So he didn't just say that he loved them, he demonstrated his love by serving them in a practical, humble way, doing this menial task. Up at Gerald and Alice's wedding last weekend, I was sharing in the talk there the Love Is cartoons. I may have mentioned it before in the barge. You know the little cartoons by Kim Casale, used to do them in the papers, which say Love Is, and you have to finish it off. And there are all sorts of practical ones like love is tiptoeing when he's asleep, and love is a close shave, and all this sort of stuff. Well, it's a similar idea here, that love is a practical demonstration in humble service. Now, we know that ultimately this is an acted parable of what he would do the next day on the cross in dying for them. It's a demonstration of love in washing their feet in this way. So that's Christ's service. We've seen who he is, his identity. We've seen this action that he did, washing their feet. And we've seen his motivation, that it was love for them that made him do it. And so secondly, our service, what is the point? Well, verse 13 says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do just as I have done to you." Sometimes I think we focus so much on the deeper meaning of this incident, so the fact that it's an acted parable of what he would do on the cross, that maybe sometimes we miss out the beautiful simplicity of the very practical lesson which this is also teaching, and which Jesus spells out in 13 to 15. "I've given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you." He's saying very simply that he calls us to serve one another in very practical ways. That we're to engage in this sort of humble, practical service of one another in a church family. And when you think about it, a lot of the tasks that you perform on the barge to make Sunday church happen are very much just humble, practical service. There's nothing flash about it, there's nothing glamorous about it. So, putting out chairs, folding service sheets, stuffing service sheets, giving them out at the door, baking cakes, giving time to practice and play music, running the PA desk, preparing to read or to lead prayers. None of it's very flash or glamorous, and it really does fit into this sort of category of being just humble, practical service. This is what Jesus calls us to do, to serve one another in these very humble, practical ways in a church family. And the example that he sets here means that there should be no task that we would consider being beneath us. Yeah, there should be no task at all that we do here on the barge. We think, well, really, this is beneath me. I'm not really being used to my max doing this sort of job, you know, folding sheets or putting out chairs or baking cakes or whatever. I don't know if you ever feel a little bit underused as you go about your task on one of the serving teams. Whether you ever catch yourself thinking, for crying out loud, you know, during the week, Monday to Friday, I'm a brain surgeon. Or, you know, I'm a top executive in one of these companies or whatever you do during the week. And here I am folding sheets, you know. I mean, anyone could be trained. They could train monkeys to do this. Why am I doing this? Well, we haven't looked into the monkey's option. I don't know whether that is possible. But it's actually a very good thing for us to do, just to engage in this sort of very simple, practical tasks as an act of service for one another. None of the tasks that we do here on the barge are as lowly as washing one another's feet. I mean, I can't think of any job we do that even gets anywhere near to washing one another's feet in that sort of way. And when you think of it, none of us start as high as Jesus, and none of us have gone as low as him. So if you think how high he started, that was verse 3, you know, that he'd Father had put all things into his hands, he'd come from God, was going back to God. So he's starting way up here, whereas you and I, however important we may think we are, we're way down here. And yet the task he was doing was way down there, in terms of washing feet, and any task we do is sort of up here somewhere. So the distance we travel isn't very great from our position down to this lowly task, whereas the distance he travelled, you can't beat it. And so that means no task should be beneath us. And by serving one another in these practical ways, what we're doing is we're actually showing love for one another. If our service is reflecting what Jesus does here, doing these practical tasks is a demonstration of love for one another. That's why we do it. So putting out chairs, we're doing it because of love for one another. baking cakes, giving time to practice and play music, running the PA, preparing to read and pray and so on. Why bother? Well, in order to love one another. I don't know if you find over the past year, and if you've just joined a team, you won't have found this yet, but you may do in the year to come, that there are times when your motivation just seems to be flagging a bit. It does happen. There are times when you just feel tired, you've had a bad week, and you feel this is the last thing I want to do. It just seems a chore. You don't feel like doing it. Maybe the last thing you want to do on one particular week is to come in early to set up, or to stay around afterwards to clear up when you could be chatting to friends. Maybe one week the last thing you want to do is to struggle to sit down and to think through prayers and how you're going to lead prayers in the service. Maybe when you have to miss some key Rugby World Cup game to come early to play music, or leave a friend's house early for lunch because you've got to come and set up, or whatever. How do you motivate yourself at those times to keep going and to do the task? Well, I think the key is to say, why am I doing it? The reason I'm doing it is out of love for the rest of the church family, to serve them and their needs. So I think it'd be a help for us to focus on love, whenever we go through moments like that, to focus again on love. And if you like, to offer the task back to God as an expression of love for our fellow believers here on the barge. So maybe just think of an individual on the barge when you're going through one of those moments. Have them in mind and say, Lord, I'll do this for them. I'll fold these sheets. I'll twiddle these buttons on the PA desk. I'll do it for them. Okay, although I don't particularly feel like doing it. Do it out of love for the staff team, because it frees us up to do other things that we're paid to do. Do it out of love for one another, because the serving tasks actually benefit them. So focus on love. And let's focus again on the example of Jesus at times when we're flagging. Just think of Jesus. Picture him in your mind, kneeling there with his bowl of water, getting getting his fingers between the toes of Simon Peter or whatever, and picking out all the whatever had ended up in there. Think feet, I think, is the message. Think feet. Whenever we're going through times when our motivation is flagging, we need to think feet. And if any of that is not enough, one final motivation Jesus throws in at the end, because he knows we struggle to do these things at times. Verse 17, he says, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. It's actually a way that we get blessed ourselves by God as we engage in this sort of practical, loving, humble service of one another in very simple ways. So Jesus' service is the model for our service on the teams here on the barge. That's all I'm going to say. Why don't we just sort of open it up for a few minutes just for people to share their own reflections on this and how this might apply specifically to the work we're doing on the barge, the serving teams. Anyone got any thoughts they want to share with us?
It's been really encouraging to see people on the welcome team grow in their service as well, how newcomers come and join us, and how the people who have been there, they've taken on more responsibility. So that's quite encouraging for the rest of us as well, in terms of loving one another and giving us encouragement. So I found that, I probably wouldn't embarrass anybody. He's not here anyway, but I wouldn't embarrass them by saying their names. But it's, you see them week in, week out, and they take more initiative. So I think that's one thing I find really good.
Thank you. Can we just turn the fans off, because it makes it easier for people to hear?
Mature Christians. And the question then comes up, how mature do you need to be? How can you tell if someone's mature enough to be, say, a member of the welcome team? Because I don't know if Clayton, is something we've discussed before, and I think it's something I've asked Matt as well.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think we would say it needs to be someone who's maturing. So I think that's an easier one than mature, to say it could be someone who's quite a recent Christian, but they're committed to maturing in their faith. I think what we can't have is people who are not Christian on the teams. I mean, to think of someone on the welcome team who's not a Christian, you know, it would just be very confusing for new people coming into the barge. They assume if you're on one of the teams that you're representing the barge. And so it'd be completely inappropriate to have someone who is not a Christian doing that. But also, you know, it could be someone who professes faith, but at the moment their lifestyle is just not reflecting it in some way. And so we would say, well, I think at the moment you need to sort out this issue before it'd be appropriate. So generally that's why we ask people who run the teams to run names past us before they invite people to do some of these jobs. Because it might be inappropriate for a reason they're not aware of.
So does that apply not just to the welcome team, but to the other servants as well, like the music team or the PA team?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, because I also think it affects the way you do a job. You know, we want people to be doing a job with a Christ-like attitude. It's an expression of being part of the body of Christ. If someone isn't a Christian, they're not actually part of the body of Christ anyway, so it just wouldn't be appropriate. I know in some churches they use this as a way of trying to get people involved, to say, well, just give them a job. You know, even if they're not a Christian, just give them a job. But I'm not convinced by that myself. I think it's important that the people who are Christian and who are living consistent Christian lives. Thank you for that, Derek. Other thoughts, reflections? Ed.
Thanks for the talk, Marcus. It's helpful. I've been helped by people are really good. A lot of people coming up and saying thanks for doing X, Y, and Z. And I think it's something it's good to remember that people are really good at doing it here, and I find that really encouraging. I should probably do it more to other people.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of the hardest jobs in some ways. I think must be PA. I would hate to do PA. I don't know if you ever get encouraged on PA, or if you only ever get the negatives when people say, "What were you doing? We couldn't hear, or it's too loud." So do encourage the PA team. Be useful to get some feedback from the various teams, just in terms of things that we can pray for, and what the particular needs are for the teams in terms of additional volunteers and personnel. So could someone from each team who heads up a team just give us an idea of what to pray for, and then we'll pray around tables in a few moments' time. So let's kick off with no particular order. Do you want to say about reading and praying? Do we need more people? Do you know?
Yeah, probably. Gareth's on the road for up till Christmas.
Yeah.
I want to mix in some 4 PM people, and we've lost a lot of people. So.
Yeah. Okay, so I think that obviously for that particular rota with the combined service, it means that the pressure's off a bit. But when we split again, the 4 PM is really quite thin for prayers and readers. So we need to pray for more people to come forward there who are suitable. Good. Welcoming and stewarding. So Derek and Clayton.
It would be good to pray for people to be raised leaders, really, because we've lost so many people to, you know, Andy and Joe have gone, and a lot of people can't lead. We found that we've stretched a little bit with leading the welcome team, and we'd quite like to pray for some people to come forward. And just for us to recognise some people can lead a welcome and I think that's something to pray about.
Hmm. I think numbers, as far as sort of 7 PM people, yeah, I think we've probably got enough once we sort of split again. Hmm. I think numbers of 4 PM, like all the people that have left from the welcome team, I think 4 PM is probably the hardest. Those, I think more people that are thinking of going to 4 PM service, think about joining the street.
Yeah.
I guess also just wisdom for Derek and for myself and Alison Garrow is going to be helping me lead up the welcome team, just to wisdom on mixing the teams together. Just getting the rushes together.
Yeah.
A good mix of people that have done.
Yeah. And ideally we'd want, come the split again, different people to be heading up the teams, because both Derek and Fong and Clayton and Melissa will be leading growth groups. So really we don't want people spinning too many plates if we can avoid it. If there are other people who aren't spinning any plates at the moment, who could step in. So, or spinning fewer plates. Great. Thank you very much for that. PA. Who's representing PA in Adam's absence?
I think there's quite a good number of different people on this term, but I guess that's something which I should be combined, some other PA person correct me or whatever. And I think as a result of combined, I think probably most people are engaged in a couple of times in terms of that sort of relatively frequent. But I guess I don't know how that worked back between the 4 PM and 7 PM. Is that right? Yes. So I guess give thanks, we've got a good number of people this term. Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Music, Caroline?
I guess pray for our rehearsal time. So we have about 45 minutes to rehearse, and you're playing with a different group of people obviously every time you play. So I think to pray that our rehearsal time is productive in terms of just being creative and playing well together, so that the music that we play in the services is us good quality.
Sorry. And do you know how you are for musicians in terms of how many extras you would need?
Well, I think for now, until Christmas, we're doing fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It'd be great if we didn't have the situation last year where some 7 PM musicians were having to double up. It just makes it a very long day for them. Baking? Anita? Great. Have I missed anyone out there in terms of the teams?
Bookstall.
Yeah. It'd be good to pray for that. Yeah, in fact, we need someone else to take on bookstall. So that's something you could pray for. So Ian Campbell and Susanna have been doing it. Ian Campbell's not around at the moment, so we need someone to be able to take over from him. And he was actually running the thing and doing the ordering. So someone who is interested in books... do you ever think, and if you've got any names, please do let me know. Okay, let's pray around tables, and if you've got any particular requests you want to share around the tables, please do that. And do remember to pray for Mel, for her recovery from her appendix operation, and for Jim and his mum as she goes through chemotherapy and so on. Ed. Okay, people to coordinate the rotors from from now. Okay, let's pray around tables. Thank you.